Hello and welcome to the Inner Gamer episode 186.
That's better.
We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners.
You sound like a whole different person.
My name is Brett Yanosky.
And I'm Austin Morales. This is the dark episode of the Inner Gamer.
It is a dark episode.
Yeah, it is. All right, this week on the Inner Gamer, Brett plays Donut County. And in the gaming news, PewDiePie is about to be dethroned. And I'm actually kind of hyped about that. And
you're a terrible person.
Xbox is basically giving away Xboxes with their all-access pass. And for discussion topic, Battlefield 5. Is it set up for disaster? We discuss the controversy, the concerns, and do we think Battlefield 5 is going to be an utter failure this year? All this and more. Brett, cue the music.
Cueing it now.
Welcome to the Inner Gamer.
It is September 4th, 2018. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we'd love for you to support us on Patreon. We are trying to get a goal of $150 a month, and you, our lovely listeners, can help us achieve that goal. If we can reach that goal, we will literally cover all of our expenses to maintain this podcast. We are currently sitting at $35. We would love to reach that $150. If we get to $150, there will be a prize awaiting you. To everybody, we're going to do some kind of giveaway of some kind. It's going to be awesome. But you definitely want to jump in there. You can join our Discord channel to chat with our lovely people. You can also get free games. We're going to do some game giveaways. And we're going to have some special content for our local people. So if you guys are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we do events such as last night. Well, as you listen to this, it was like 3 days ago. But we had an event at Community Brewery. Super awesome. We had about 85, 90 people show up, I would say. Good amount of people showed up. Lots of cool people. If you're listening to our podcast for the first time, thank you all for coming out. It was a blast. We hope you enjoyed all the games, the raffle, the beer, the food, all that stuff. It was a good time. We had
good
some
times,
fun.
Good times.
And did you have fun, Austin?
I did.
Yeah? Yeah? You had a good time?
It's great. Drinks all around.
Drinks all around. Yeah. No, that beer, the A Million Exploding Suns, was fantastic. I was loving it.
If you haven't tried
it
already, hopefully they actually do a live batch to everybody.
Yeah.
So that's a badass beer.
Yeah. No,
They have so many like random beers. I don't want to say random beers, but like experimental stuff they're doing right now that it's probably going to take a while before they do something like that. I think they have one that they're now going to do seasonally.
Okay.
That's an experimental beer that Michael was telling me about.
That's crazy how big their capacity. I mean, the fact that they can keep production of their standard beers and then have that much experimental stuff going on the side.
Well, I mean, it's nice for them because people want to come in to see like what they have you know, every week or every month or whatever they do for that. So
it's like a natural event bringer of things.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bringer of peoples.
Now, anyway, more beer places to do that.
In addition to events, September 14th, 2018, that is roughly... Actually, it's exactly 2 weeks from today, or as you're listening to this podcast, it's 10 days away. We're going to be having a second event in Dallas at Pediculus Brewing Company. So head on over to Facebook, RSVP. It'll also be up on meetup.com by the time you hear this. So go check that out and come out and play some more video games with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now let's jump into video games. Austin, you played WoW this week, so we're not going to talk about that.
I did.
Sorry, because it's a thing.
It's whatever.
But Austin has over 48 hours in WoW in the last 2 weeks, roughly, I guess.
Is that
right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. I played a little game called Donut County. This is a game I've been really hyped about. I feel like I'm one of those weird people that gets really excited about games that nobody knows about. Because I've been waiting on this game for a good year. And it finally came out and it was only $4.99 on the App Store. So this is a game that's available on like, I think it's on PC and like iOS and stuff like that.
Right.
But it is a game made by one guy. His name is Ben Esposito and it's published by Annapurna Pictures, who, if you don't know who they are, they were also the publishing company for, they also do films and TV shows and stuff like that, but they were the publishing company for What Remains of Edith Finch, which we were super hyped about last year. And now this game's out. Sedona County. If anybody's heard of a game called Katamari Damacy, it's very similar in concept to that. In that, in Katamari Damacy, from my understanding, I never played it, but from my understanding, it's like a ball that you're rolling around with and you're picking up things as you're rolling and your ball gets bigger and bigger and bigger as time goes on. Well, with this game, you play as a raccoon named BK, and BK just moves into town. And as a raccoon, he opens a donut shop and he sells donuts. But when people order the donuts, they're not ordering a donut. They're ordering a hole that comes into their land and starts consuming everything around them.
So no one knows this.
No one knows this until it starts happening. And the next
thing they're like, what did I just buy?
Yeah. So there's actually like a deep, like a story to this game, which I was not expecting, in that like immediately within the first 10 minutes of the game, they reveal to you that everything has been consumed. Apparently the earth is not round and solid. The earth is flat and hollow inside. So this raccoon was collecting everybody into the hollow earth, and Donut County is now underneath the earth because he's collected everything up. So your job is to relive those moments as the player of the hole. So it's a super simple game. You just have like on the touch screen, it's like your finger's on there. You move your finger across the screen and it moves the hole. It doesn't matter where you put your finger on the screen. It'll move the hole along with it. And the hole starts out small. And as time goes on, it gets bigger and bigger the more you collect. So it starts out being really simple, where it's just like you can see on the screen like what size things are. You move your hole to where that thing is. There's a really good physics engine in it where the things will fall in. Sometimes you'll collect things that cause other things to topple down, and you can like kind of chain falling together and have like the physics, like maybe there's a cart that has a bunch of corn on it. You like hover your cart over there, you grab the cart wheel, it tips it down, and then all the corn falls in your hole, and then your hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then later on, they add in challenges where, like, say you collect a fire pit, now suddenly your hole's on fire, so you can use it to like light up. There's like a hot air balloon that you have to light up with fire to like send it up in the air, and then it breaks the chains and like sends it off into the sky. Nice. So there's all these like puzzle mechanics that come into play in the later part of the game that get more and more complicated. And it's not a long, it's two, I think I beat it in like two and a half hours. It wasn't a long game, but it was very, very cool and well worth it. The art style is gorgeous. It's a beautiful game. Great graphics and everything. I actually took some pictures and stuff that I can post up later on. I just discovered that I can stick my Apple Pencil to the side of my thing here. all the little things that get me excited. It's great. But yeah, no, it's a really cool, it's a game. It's a dig. It's definitely a dig.
Yeah.
I think anybody should pick this up. If you just like something you just want something to kind of kill some time, you know, like, go in the bathroom or whatever. You're like, I need something to do on my phone. Or if you're standing in line somewhere, like, now there is one caveat. Do not play this game without sound, because the soundtrack is awesome.
I have to admit, you played a little bit before we started this podcast. So like,
yeah,
it is pretty, like, yeah. I kind of want to pick it up.
That's cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's something you could do on the toilet, really.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's where I spend most of my time playing it. Yes. You know,
we're going to have a new podcast called Toilet Games.
Yeah. Yeah, Toilet Talk.
Toilet Talk.
Talk about...
Brett Yanowski.
With Brett Yanowski. Welcome to Toilet Talk. Introducing our next game we're going to talk about today. This is a game that's great for a 20-minute poo session. No, that's
how short our attention spans are going to get. It's like, we can only play games when we are using the restroom. So
yes. Yeah. Anyway, derailed. So Donut County, really cool. Check it out. It's a lot of fun, and I'm very glad that this game exists, because... It's mad. Oh, I got to tell you one more thing. So the whole, I'm not going to give it away, but the end, like reaching the end, is great, because the way that they present the credits,
Josh
is
gonna say something
so cool. It's so cool. Anyway, so
I'm sure it is. It.
Yeah.
The very end of this whole game.
Oh, son of a bitch. Yeah. Yes.
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 It's a lot of trash.
Oh, I'm sure.
In that space.
Yeah, you put all the trash in there.
All the trash. Anyway, so yeah, that's my game. It's a dig. I love it. Check it out. It's a Apple Store. You can get it on PC as well. It's actually, it's $14.99 on the PC, So buy it on the phone or something, or your iPad or whatever, because $4.99 on the phone.
Please do it.
Save $10 and it's the same game, I think. But it's got good reviews on Steam too. So if you want to buy it on Steam, you can, but you're going to pay $10 more. So I would just buy it on the phone. Anyway, that's all the games we played this week.
That's it. That's all
Anything
we got.
Anything else you want to add in there?
No.
Okay, cool. Well, just to give you a quick teaser, next week I'm going to be playing We Happy Few. So that's going to be coming down the line. We got Spider-Man coming out on the 7th of September.
Yep.
Super hyped about that.
Yep.
I think we might be spending the next like 4 weeks after the after that comes out talking about that on the podcast, because it's a lot of content. It's going to be great.
And I don't know what I'm going to play yet, so we'll find out.
Definitely Spider-Man. Well, I'm sure you're going to be playing a lot of WoW. Have you played Battle for Azeroth yet?
No, I haven't got to that content yet.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So yeah. Get, okay.
Yeah. Like I can't get into that.
So you can't like jump to it. You have to like play through the other content to get to that content.
Well, you have to be a certain level.
Oh man, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Jeez. Interesting. All right. Well, that's it for the games we played. Stay tuned for our video game news. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. First up, we are going to start, unfortunately, with some sad news. There was those of you that don't know, which I'm sure everybody has heard of this in some capacity, there was a shooting in Jacksonville, Florida at a Madden tournament, left a few people dead. It was one of the players of the tournament. It was sad news. Yeah, I feel like it's just something that needs to be mentioned. It sucks that this was related to a gaming tournament, because there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the gaming being associated with violence, which I don't agree with at all. But this doesn't help that case, unfortunately. But EA, who makes Madden, they did donate $1 million to the families of the shooting victims. So that was a good effort from them. It's probably a way for them to also avoid getting sued by people, because
probably
it was at an EA-sponsored event. But
it's pretty bad.
It's unfortunate circumstances. And it's at a time when we want... Like, games are growing and they're getting bigger and more well-respected. And
right, yeah.
This kind of doesn't help that situation.
No,
but
no.
Yeah, so.
I mean, from like a, I guess, news standpoint, it helps that it was just at a man tournament, because, I mean, typically you associate this, or the news will associate this with like, oh, it's violent games, shooting, first-person shooters, Grand Theft Auto, but like...
It's a sports game.
It's a sports game.
Yeah, it's a little different.
This just shows that it can happen anywhere at any time. It doesn't have to be just violent games.
Yeah.
So it sucks. This really does suck.
Yeah. But our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of those victims, and hopefully they, hopefully this doesn't happen again. That's the main thing. But let's jump into some happier news.
Okay.
Nintendo had a Direct last week.
It did.
As they've been having a lot lately.
Right.
Like, these guys have been knocking it out of the park. They had the Smash Direct, which was like all this new stuff that they announced there. Now they have the Nindies Direct. Man, this was exciting. There's some good stuff in here. So I'm just going to go through the list of some of the announcements that came out. In addition to the games that they talked about, there was also an announcement that they're going to add a new channel to their like news section that is exclusively for indies. So they'll be announcing some like all the indie news that you need to know about Nintendo is going to be in this channel. So if you have a Switch, you can go in there, subscribe to this news channel, and you'll know about all the indie things that are coming out. But let's run through the list. So Hyper Light Drifter is getting a special edition coming out September 6th. So that's...
I am like so excited for this.
This week, which is crazy.
Yes.
And I already bought it. Like all these games I have on PC.
You just got to buy it again now.
I'm going to buy it again, I guess, on Switch, because that's where I want to play it. One that I'm really excited about, I don't know if you are pumped about this or not, Towerfall is coming out.
I wasn't
very excited. You familiar with Towerfall, though?
I'm not.
So it was an Ouya exclusive back when that was a thing.
Oh, wow.
And it was a big deal when it came out on the Ouya. It was like the only reason people ever bought one with half situation.
That's it.
They obviously didn't get a huge market with it. So then they brought it on other platforms. And it came out in 2013. And it's still in conversation. But it's apparently a very fast-paced, really exciting game in which you're actually shooting arrows, your archers that are shooting each other in this like co-op same screen space. They're going to add Celeste to it because surprisingly,
heard about
the
that.
Creators of this game made Celeste. So like that's
very
where
convenient.
They kind of came from and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait to play this on the Switch because this is, I mean, a great co-op game to play. And I've been wanting to play it for the longest time, but just haven't gone into it. So that'll be
right.
That's coming out September 27th. And then they announced a game called Treasure Stack, which is coming out in winter. It's just a block puzzle game, kind of Tetris-y looking, mm-hmm. But more fantasy-esque.
Right.
And then Zarvot. This is a game about friendship among cubes. You take control of Charcoal and Mustard as they go through 9 worlds to cheer up their friend. So
that actually seems kind of cute.
Yeah.
Like, it's something I might look into buying. I like the art style of it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So that comes out in October. It was a good looking game. Yeah, it's got a good look to it. Mineko's Night Market. This is a game coming out in 2019. 20 hours of story-based gameplay and cats. It's all about Mineko, a girl who comes home to a Japanese island, meets villagers, completes challenges, and yeah, there's cats everywhere. I wasn't too excited about this
everywhere.
Game, but there's a fan base for it out there somewhere. Samurai Gun, don't know much about this. Bushido Brawler, basically. Adventure mode can be played with solo or friends. Gun City, blah, 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 blah. There's just a lot of these things. Where's the highlights here? Bullet Age looks pretty interesting. Bullet Age is coming out in November. It's a console exclusive in November, and it's a co-op action game that has sword and gun gameplay.
Very nice.
Multiple continents, upgradable weapons, HD rumbles included with it. Yeah, so you can play through that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Why is mine? Is that you?
I think that was me.
Oh, that was you.
My bad.
All right. Level Head. This is a game that will help. This is cool. So this is like if you don't have Super Mario Maker, you have Level Head. And this allows players to design and upload levels and download other creations. So it's a 4-player co-op game,
right.
A simple pixel game, but it's all community-generated content for the levels. So I'm like, I think this can be a lot of fun. Like we could do something like with this with us, like encourage our community to get this game if they have a Switch, make a thing, we'll make a contest out of it or something and like say,
that'd
hey,
be cool.
Check this out. This game
that would
is
be cool.
out and
yeah.
you know, make a level and we might feature it at one of our events.
I'm not a level creation guy. I know a lot of people are really into that Mario level creator.
Yeah. Super
game.
Mario Maker.
Yeah. It's like, it's cool. It's definitely cool, but I don't know.
It's for a certain type of person that likes to be very meticulous and detail oriented and stuff like that. And it's not for everybody. Like for sim people, like, I mean, it's a game for me. It's a game for me.
I know.
For sure,
yeah.
Cause I like that
so, like,
stuff.
Back in the day of playing like Garry's Mod and trying to create something. And then you actually try to create a mod for, was it Crysis 3 or Crysis 2?
Crysis 1.
Crysis 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's some games like that. Like I try to create a map for, I think it was StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
No, StarCraft 1. Sorry. And it's just like, the idea is cool, but actually doing it is just way more time that needs to be committed than I actually want to put in. Yeah. But this is cool for those who want to create something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, especially for Switch.
Then we have early 2019, King of the Hat. This is a hat-based party game that takes players playing against their friends with their hats and simple two-button controls. You can have 4 players locally or take it online with ranked multiplayer. It includes characters such as Birthday, Fat Cat, and Washing Machine, which I saw the Washing Machine. I was like, what the hell? This is so weird and silly. But, I mean, it's very... It looks cool. I mean, it looks fun. I mean, it sounds like it'd be a good little local co-op party game. Untitled Goose Game is a game where you are a goose and it's part stealth, part sandbox, and all goose simulator. So think goat simulator, but you're a goose and you're chasing people around. It's got the art style of Donut County. So that's what's got me excited about it.
Right.
It looks similar to Donut County.
I've seen this before and I think some people have streamed it because it's on Steam, isn't it? I believe it's already on Steam.
I don't know if it is or not.
I'm
remember
pretty
I've
sure
heard about it already.
Maybe we heard about it earlier in the year, but it looks interesting.
Yeah.
If we got a review code, I'd definitely play it, but I don't know if it's a game I'd go out and buy just yet.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
See how it goes.
Yeah.
If anybody's played FTL, that game, that was hard. Did you ever play FTL?
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Don't even know what it's at.
Faster than light is what it is. It's like you're managing a ship. it's all like click based. Like you're inside of it, you see like a cutout, like a 2D cutout of a ship.
Right.
And you have to manage different rooms and controls and stuff like that. Kind of like Lovers in Dangerous Space Time look to it.
Yeah.
But basically you're being attacked by things every once in a while, or there's like malfunctions that happen and you're just doing ship management in different compartments. So sometimes you'll get shot and then like all of a sudden there's a fire that starts happening in one compartment. You have to take care of the fire and you have to survive from like different waves of stuff. But it's just like looking at a ship and managing, doing all the strategy of like keeping the ship from like dying.
Right.
And it's just an endless, you just keep playing until you die and then you start over and then do it over again. But Into the Breach is their next game. And you control mechs from the future that protect the Earth from an alien invasion. So they have this grid-like map to it. It's like an isometric top-down view. And it's a turn-based strategy game where if you fail, you can send one of your pilots back in time to start a new game with their experiences and abilities. So in this version, it's basically like you get better with time because you're being able to pull somebody from that previous game to take into the new game. So that's kind of interesting. And it came out, like, that was the big announcement. It was like, hey, it's out now. So right. That was cool.
Well, this was at PAX, I believe.
It might have been.
PAX South. And I know some people were streaming it, or they made a video about it. Like, I like the idea of it. This kind of, what was that one game? Back in high school, there was a game. It was like Tank something. And it was on the Game Boy, or one of the Nintendo Game Boy versions, or like later on, I forgot what it was. What do we have in high school for the Game Boy?
Pokemon?
Well, no. Like what Game Boy were we at? It wasn't
Was it the color one?
No, it was past that. It was already colored, but it was more of Advance? Like what we see now.
Game Boy Advance?
No. Yeah, maybe it was Advance. I don't know. But
that
it was
one.
And we would pass this Game Boy around and play this tank game. And it had these tiles where, like, everyone would take turns, move the tile. It's basically like, an RTS game, but just with the tanks you have, and you have to try to defeat one or two people. So a lot of tactics involved.
I know exactly
involved,
what you're talking
right?
about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of the game, but I do remember that. Yeah.
But this reminds me of it, and it's interesting. But I don't know if I need to look more into this game.
Yes, you do.
I don't know. I might pick it up.
Cool. The Messenger is coming out. I'm really pumped about this game.
Really pumped about it?
Shh. you didn't hear that. I'm really excited about this because this is the game that switches between 8-bit and 16-bit graphics to solve puzzles and stuff like that, which is a really neat concept. And it's Metroidvania style, all that stuff. Bastion's coming out, which I'm surprised to see this, but they're just basically any game they can put on the Switch, they're bringing to the Switch.
Right.
Wasteland 2 is coming. This is a game that came out in 2015. They're bringing a director's cut on September 13th. To this, Undertale, hell yeah, this is a game perfect for the Switch. Undertale is a very simple RPG style game, very old school graphics, but very, very clever and very well designed. Like even IGN gave it a 10 out of a 10 and said it's a masterfully crafted experience. I haven't beat it yet, but I've played it, and it is a very, very cool, clever, interesting game made by one guy. Which is also
maybe
awesome.
One guy.
Little Fingers is September 20th. Game played on a Magical Clockworks game board. Turn-based multiplayer action that has you deceiving and outsmarting your friends to collect the most loot. I like the look of this game.
Yes.
It's a very cool kind of art style that looks like Little Big Planet a little bit.
Right. Might want to rush to the rest of these. Are we almost done?
Yeah, we're almost done.
Okay, cool.
All right, Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery is coming out. We got Jackbox Party Pack 5, of course, which can't wait for that, October 2018. Transistor is coming back out onto this. So this is also the Bastion game. So basically, the guy at Supergiant Games is bringing all their games to the Switch.
I'm so happy about that, by the way. I want Transistor. 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 No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't played Bastion either. And everyone says those are like
Bastion's
great games.
Bastion is so good.
Luis, I'm getting it. Luis.
The narrator is fucking awesome.
Luis, I'm finally going to play these two games. You keep saying like some of the best indie games ever.
Desert Child puts you in the shoes of a young and talented hover bike racer who needs to figure out how you can scrape enough cash together through racing odd jobs to punch your one-way ticket to the Red Planet to enter the biggest race in the universe, the Grand Prix. It pulls inspiration from Cowboy Bebop, Akira, and Red Line, and has local multiplayer.
Very nice.
And last but not least, Dragon Mark for Death, which is a 2D side-scrolling RPG where four players can work together and play as a princess, warrior, shinobi, or a witch with boss battles. So lots of stuff. Lots of stuff, and I'm super hyped about all of it. So
me too. This is great. I love you. Nintendo is just amazing when it comes to like releasing this content and showing what's coming for like the next several months up into, isn't there like two coming out next year?
Probably.
Like, at least one. I saw one coming out in January.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or like early 2018.
There's several of them coming out. There's a lot of them that are just like 2019 at some point. There's so many of them coming out like in the next couple of months, which I was surprised.
So they've, honestly, Nintendo's taking the PlayStation 4 store and just, I think, adding so much more to it by highlighting certain games instead of just being like, hey, this, you know, like Rocket League, oh, it's free to play. Like, here you go for the month. Like, this is way better. And it gives us something that it fills the void between all these Nintendo releases anyway. So, I don't know. I dig it. And I think this is what's going to really put, I'm excited to see where they go in the future with all this stuff. Indie games are just making Nintendo Switch blow up.
They need to figure out their UI a little bit because it's going to get to the point where it's like overload.
I agree.
There's over 600 games in their store now.
Jeez.
And
there's like 10.
I know. Yeah. It's like, I want to buy all these games.
All of them.
There's nothing else to play. And now
all
it's just like
them.
There's such a huge library. You don't have to do it yourself.
All right.
All right. Next story. We have PewDiePie, who is ironically, well, it's not ironic, but I just didn't realize this at all, that he is the biggest, the largest YouTube channel.
Yes, he is.
He has over 60 million subscribers.
That is ridiculous.
And but there is another group out there called T-Series that is the second most popular channel that has under 60 million subscribers, but is gaining 150,000 subscribers per day on average. So you think, is this like a gaming podcast group? Is this a...
It's got to be gaming, you know, related, right?
Like, it's got to be gaming, or maybe it's like they do technology reviews, or maybe they do this, or maybe they do that. Like, I don't know what they do. But then I looked it up, and I was like, they are actually a company that produces Bollywood productions in India. So those like really kind of high production, really weird, kind of goofy... music videos that you've seen, like I used to see them all the time at like hookah bars and stuff like that. They are a huge company launched in the 80s that is now one of the biggest Bollywood production companies in the world, and it's the most popular brand on YouTube.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah,
so I have a lot of friends who either I know people who are, you know, Indian or from that region. Right? Because Bollywood's in India, isn't it?
Well, Bollywood's just like a type of...
Oh, is it? Okay. I thought there was like a Bollywood that's supposed to be a take on Hollywood, but in India.
I don't think so. But it might be. Let me look.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Brett's going to look it up. Anyway, I know people who are like into this Bollywood stuff. And I've seen some Bollywood movies because my girlfriend, she watches some of it.
Bollywood is just Hindi cinema. It's an Indian...
I gotcha.
The Indian Hindi language film industry based on the city of Mumbai. Yeah.
Thanks for explaining it to me wrong then.
Yeah. So it's just Hollywood and Hindi.
Okay. Hindu. So not just Indian stuff. It's just all that whole region over there. Like some of it's actually really good. A lot of it's actually really funny. But I'm curious to know the demographics and region specific likes of PewDiePie and this T-Series. Like, I think that'd be an interesting comparison to see how much region specific that is. And I think the whole Bollywood movement is just growing dramatically over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, we see that here with this, and it's just, yeah, that's cool. And it's interesting that would be in comparison to PewDiePie.
Yeah. Like two completely opposite ends of the spectrum are trying to battle each other. So this article, it's an article on Polygon that I found this through. And the first thing that they say is PewDiePie half-heartedly wants his, quote, army of nine-year-olds to stop a group called T-Series from becoming the biggest channel on YouTube.
An army of nine-year-olds. I don't know what's more... Who would win this battle? An army of nine-year-olds or an army of people who like Bollywood stuff?
Yep, basically.
Nine-year-olds are pretty powerful if you didn't know already.
Yeah, you gotta watch for those.
I'm telling you.
They're scary.
I'm telling you.
They'll come attack you. It's not good. All right, so Division 2 is a game that's coming out next year. It's made by Ubisoft. It's a follow-up to the Division 1. They just announced their packs that you can get. So those of you that don't know, the Division 2 is coming out, standard price game. It's going to have, they announced it, this is a big deal at E3, that it's going to have free DLC content. Like everything's going to come out for free. But there's a a little twist. There's an asterisk that comes above that. They have six editions of this game, six of them. The standard edition comes with the game, access to the private beta, Capital Defender pack, and then Tommy the Teddy Bear, you'll see whatever the heck that is. Then they have a gold edition, a gold steelbook edition, an ultimate edition, a Dark Zone definitive edition, and a Phoenix Shield edition. The price ranges of these pieces of content are anywhere from $60 to $250. So $250 for the biggest one, and that gives you all the stuff. But there's some weird little things in here as you're looking through the types of editions. So for example, there's certain ones of these editions that will give you early access if you pay money to get the DLC. So you're not paying for the DLC, but you're getting early access to it by paying money. Second, the most expensive of these six editions has a in-game perk that allows players to get an expanded item stash, which lets them store more items than players who buy the cheaper editions of the game. So that is the one that is it's the Phoenix Shield edition. So it's $250.
Jeez.
So if you want to buy that, you get that. Plus you get a little character, like a little figurine,
right,
that you can get.
Honestly, so, I think it looks really stupid.
Yeah.
It does not look cool. For those who are collectibles, I'm sure this seems really awesome. And if you like The Division.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting way of doing stuff.
It's too many editions.
It's a lot of editions. Just have like two or three.
But then,
you know what I mean?
There shouldn't be the fact, if you get to the point where you have to have a chart to explain what's coming out, like that's too much. Like
just it is.
Bring out like two versions of the game and call it a day. Maybe right. Like a collector's edition a year down the line or whatever, but that's all it should
be. Curious to see what the sales are after the fact. Like how many people buy each edition, how many people buy it overall, and like if this really helps your sales compared to Division 1.
That would be a good point, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
do a video about this.
So they're basically doing, they're still basically selling DLC, but not really. They're just offering higher level tiers, hoping that people invest into those higher level tiers.
Right. So they're going to make more money on the
same
offset.
Types of things. Yeah.
Or on the onset. The
onset. Yeah. I don't know. But speaking of DLC, that isn't free, but
yes.
It is exciting.
Yes.
Spider-Man is getting a season pass as we expected. And it's called the City That Never Sleeps DLC.
Yes.
And it'll come out one chapter per month after the game releases. There's going to be three chapters, I believe. $10 per chapter or $25 for the season pass. The
already
first
done,
one,
huh? You already bought it.
Huh?
You already bought it, didn't
no,
you?
Not yet. But I will. I will. The first chapter is coming out October 23rd. It's called The Heist, which is going to bring Black Cat Felicia Hardy to the foreground. So you figure out she's back in town, have to follow clues. She's leaving around the city to find her. Each DLC has new enemies, missions, and new suits along with them. The other two chapters will come out November, December with unspecified dates. So that's just cool. I'm just excited.
No, that's just like, good, news,
DLC
good news.
And I'm usually not hyped about DLC, but
right.
Fucking Spider-Man. Can't wait.
That's fucking Spider-Man.
Can't give me.
So minor note, Brett, have you heard about the controversy around the graphics?
No,
this is just breaking the last day. I think I saw something about yesterday and I saw something about today. Actually, there's an article who actually came out today. It might have been yesterday, I don't know. But people have been posting ahead of when they're supposed to be posting things of comparisons of the trailer and actual in-game stuff.
So it looks worse.
It is called the puddle controversy.
Oh, God.
So they're showing that there's less puddles in some of these pictures. They're side-by-side comparisons, and people are freaking out, like, why is there less puddles? And then someone posted another photo of one of the cutscenes. And everyone's saying that the graphics have been downgraded from the actual trailer. And then now Insomniac's coming out and like trying to, you know, counteract this news.
This is why nobody wants to release gameplay anymore.
It's kind of stupid. I understand gamers have been burned in the past.
Yeah.
With like, what is a good example? Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Apparently people got burned there. There's another game. No, I think Watch Dogs is
the
biggest one.
Watch Dogs one wasn't really that bad.
Right.
Like people complained about it, but it really wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
I mean, I didn't think it looked like a bad game.
Now, I don't know if it hurt sales or not because of that, but it was like bad press for them.
The sales is the fact that the game was not
okay.
Very
yes.
Good.
the game was, I guess the onset of the sales is what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
But with this, I feel like people are blowing it out of proportion. I understand people have high expectations for this game as well.
Yeah.
So you kind of hope it's the best, and everything's supposed to run a little better on PlayStation. We've seen Red Dead Redemption 2 gameplay footage from PlayStation 4 Pro, and it looks freaking phenomenal. You would think we'd get the same here. At the same time, time and time again, when they render out these in-game footage, they're probably rendering it out most likely on a high, super high-end PC, you know, with like probably dual graphic cards and stuff like that. So it's kind of like, yeah, the graphics may be downgraded. I wonder if these people are playing on 4K TV to begin with, because maybe that helps a little bit. But the whole puddle thing was, I think, was a little ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, God, there's like less puddles. No. Okay. The PlayStation 4 doesn't have an RTX card, okay? The ray tracing isn't there, guys.
I'll tell you why the puddles aren't there.
What's up?
Because I collected them all in Donut County with my hole.
Ah, there it is. There it is.
I got all the puddles in my hole.
What do you think about this? Like,
I don't really care.
It's kind of stupid.
I think it's going to be awesome. I just want to play it.
I've seen one of the photos, and they were saying that because the lighting changes, like not night, day cycle changes, that one of the photos was taken when the sun was like down. So it's more of like flat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it's in shadow. So the cutscene's in shadow. Yeah. Which if that's the case, that is cool that the dynamics actually change the scene. But at some point, from a filming perspective, you need to have like actual lighting in your scene to give it this look that you're going for to help the mood and progress the story, light your characters right. I don't know. There's this weird balance here that I think from a consumer standpoint to an actual like artistic standpoint gets lost in that void. Like, you don't market that, you know?
So the reason why I'm going to be getting Spider-Man is not because of puddles or beautiful graphics.
Exactly.
It's because I want to have a web-slinging suit and swing around the city of New York.
Right.
And that's all I care about. That's all I want.
That is pretty cool.
I might not even play the story.
Right.
I might just spend my whole day swinging around and like doing cool shit.
Right. Yeah.
That's all I care about. It's great.
I mean, that's going to be fun.
And then if the graphics look good, that's just a bonus.
It's awesome.
Anyway, long as it looks better than the original game.
I didn't mean to stay on that long, but I thought it was a cool story, like interesting topic.
So next thing we have, this is really interesting. So Xbox just announced a thing called the Xbox All Access Pass. So this is akin to, so if you have like a smartphone or whatever, you can get, like I have an iPhone and I pay for a leasing program. It's not a leasing program. It's a licensing fee thing or whatever. But basically you pay a monthly fee, you get the phone. Every year you can upgrade a new phone as long as you pay 12 months worth of payments, and then you just keep paying for the phone and eventually you pay off that device. So Xbox is doing a similar idea. So you're going to be paying for the device in the long run, but this deal is really cool. So for 24 monthly payments, you can get an Xbox One X or an Xbox One S.
Mm-hmm.
No upfront costs. You just pay either $22 a month for the Xbox One S or $35 a month for the Xbox One X. So not only do you get the console, you get the Xbox Live service. That is a fee. And then you also get the Game Pass, which is another fee, all for that $35. So for $35 a month, you can get an Xbox One X, Game Pass, plus Games of the Gold. And you just got to commit to a 2-year period or whatever. If you cut out before that, you just pay the full price of the console, the remaining full price or whatever. But like when they break it down, the cost of this, you're actually getting everything for less if you do it this way versus the other way, as long as you're willing to, like, you know, keep up with this. So for example, you have the Xbox One X, per month, $35 a month, that's $840 you're spending over a period of 2 years. So normally if you were to pay for Gold monthly plus get the Xbox Live subscriptions and everything else, that's $980. So you're actually paying $140 less for getting this pass than you would be if you paid all that outright. So that's pretty interesting. Like, I would actually go for this option. If I'm an Xbox person, I'd rather go for that than I would the other thing. Because one, you're only paying one fee.
Right.
You pay $35 a month.
Right.
They send you a console.
Right.
So you don't have to pay that $500 up front. And yeah, you get the whole system. And that's their goal, is just get you tied in that ecosystem. And
I mean, yeah. this is worth doing, I think. This makes me want to get an Xbox.
For sure.
Because now not only am I saving money, I don't have to pay so much money off the bat. And I get to jump in and, you know, play in an ecosystem we haven't really played in before. Well, we did, but we jumped out of that. So I think this could... How long is this going on for is what I'm curious. Because this has potential of bringing a lot of people.
For a while. I don't think that... They didn't really announce it. It's like a limit. I mean, they said it's like limited of some kind, but I could imagine they're going to keep it going for at least until the next generation comes out.
Yeah. This is really good for Xbox. Now, yeah, they can get people there, but can they keep them there over time? I don't know.
That's true. Well, I really keep them there for 2 years. Otherwise, they're paying a lot of stuff for the content.
They at least can keep them there for 2 years. But I'm just curious if I'm going to play anything on an Xbox.
Yeah, they do say it's a limited time offer, so I don't know if that's going to be if that's going to change or what. So,
I mean, what would you play on the Xbox right now? I'm not like for me. Like, I wouldn't go back and just play old games. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I might play some on the Game Pass or whatever. But like, I mean, Forza Horizon 4, I would be jumping on that when that comes out.
Okay.
Sea of Thieves, like games that I haven't bought yet, like State of Decay 2.
Okay.
Like all those games I would play. I mean, I might even jump in like Madden or FIFA because those might be on like, well, no, those aren't. Those aren't exclusives. Yeah. Any of the Xbox game will be on the Game Pass and I play that.
Right.
So.
And so what is the cost after you pay all this? What are you paying for?
It just goes back to like normal stuff. Okay. Like just whatever you were paying before.
Well, what is it for the actual like online stuff?
I don't remember. It's something. It's dollar bills.
But that's what you're going to pay at the end of the day, right? After you paid off all this stuff.
Yeah, then it'll be going. I mean, you've paid everything off. Now it's just like back to what you used to pay.
I know. Yeah. I don't know what we used to pay.
Yes. Anyway, so moving on. There's that.
There was a point I'm trying to make, Brett.
Oh, I know. I know.
Thanks.
I don't know. I don't know what it is though. I don't have it. Okay, so games with Gold Pass or Gold and the Game Pass, $20 per month. So that's if you have both together, $20 a month.
But I guess my point was they're trying to suck you in and keep you there for that, like hoping that is what keeps you there. And over time, you got that. So that's like the give and take. They're gonna lose a little money in order to keep you as a customer over time.
Yeah.
The game as a service thing. So I was just curious, like how much they're making off of you a year. So,
to $240 a year.
Right.
If you don't do this thing.
Right. Yeah. So, Interesting.
But then you also get $500 for the sale of the console.
Yeah. For sure. Right.
Last thing we have to talk about. This is I wish we had gotten this sooner because this is a conversation and a half. This might need to be like tabled for a little bit and like continued later. But anyway, Cyberpunk 2077. I talked about last week that there was a teaser out there that had a bit.ly link in it that took them to like this really funky, weird picture that said more than meets the eye. I had butchered what it was last week, but it was more than meets the eye. What it eventually came to reveal is that there was a Twitch stream that was happening. That Twitch stream garnered almost 500,000 people, the largest Twitch stream that day, more than Fortnite. Surpassed all the Fortnite streams and everything. And it was a 48-minute gameplay reveal of Cyberpunk 2077.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. What do you think about this?
I did enjoy it. This is what I've been waiting for a long time. I wanted to see it in action. The city alone is mind-blowing. The way that the crowd moves, the actual crowd, like a significant amount of people, given it still looks a little gamey. You can see all the kind of harsh edges in the sense that like people look stiff. You see the same people over and over again, which is fine. Like you can't, like they aren't going to make a million different people. I mean, I guess there's a way to do that. We can kind of like procedurally generate different stuff, but overall, like it feels real.
Yeah.
Like it feels, they say that they're trying to make the most dynamic, evolving or whatever. I forgot the terms I use, city in a game. And it shows like to see that, have it everywhere. Yeah. GTA does that, but I don't know. There's just something
level of detail to this world that I've never seen in GTA.
Right.
And to me, GTA is one of the most detailed worlds I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
Like
for sure.
They've like built that out incredibly well. And this one, like just when they open that shot, they come out of the elevator, they go into that next room and there's like there's the robot that's on the the table or whatever, and they're walking through to like find the guys that they're going after. Like, there was so many things to look at in that space.
Oh yeah.
Like, all you're doing is just walking through that space. The fact that there's all these details and stuff going out there. And then once they walked out into the first little like courtyard town part of the town or whatever, where it was like they were up on the second floor looking down into it. People walking by and then going through the crowd and seeing all that and then jumping in the car and like driving through the city and everything. I was like,
right,
damn, there's a lot to, and it's tight. Like everything's tightly close together. And,
yes, it is.
Very, like there's no spaces that feel like they are just empty spaces for just because
right.
they're
every
they're
new cranny feels like there's a story there. But I think this goes back to one of our old discussion topics about how big a game really should be.
Right.
Because looking at some of these things, I'm like, man, look at the detail they put. Like this, she was walking down into some underground room or something, and like the guardrail for where this guardrail was, like, was broken and bent. I was like, it looked dirty. Like, man, it's been there for like, you know, decades, maybe. Who knows? Yeah. I'm like, that is so cool. But I'm thinking when I'm playing this game, hopefully I'm immersed in the story enough that I forget all of this. Honestly, you want it that real where you just kind of get sucked in and you're just going from mission point, ready, like, who are these characters, and diving into that, and hopefully the world kind of opens up a little bit and like makes sense. But I think some of this might be lost in the end. Yeah. There are gonna be people who walk around just like, you know, in a daze looking at everything, but I do feel like that could be lost on a lot of people in the end.
It'll be interesting. Like, I was, so I compare this to Deus Ex a lot, because Deus Ex is a game in which it's a very cool game, very good looking game, but I feel like the world that they developed in there is very stale. Like, it is a, there's so much potential there that wasn't, they didn't go after at all. Cyberpunk so far has lived up to what I was hoping for with Deus Ex. In that, like, in Deus Ex, I didn't want to stop and look around and stuff. I didn't really care. There was nothing to look at.
It was always dark.
It was dark, and it was just like, there was nothing that pulled me over to anything that made me even want to explore anything. But in here, there's so many details to look at that I'm like, I could see myself stopping to just like kill a bunch of bad guys in this room and then just look to see what environmental storytelling is here to have me learn more.
Right, exactly.
And that to me is really, really nice. And the fact that, I don't know, there's a couple of things that I didn't like about this. I think the dialogue's kind of campy, kind of corny. That was a concern. And then that was really the only concern. The dialogue wasn't that great, but a lot of people had that conversation about it, and they wanted to put in like all the swearing and stuff like that because they wanted to be like a gritty, dark world. Like, they want this dystopian future that is like, this is a shitty world.
Right.
And that's what we want to get out there. And like, these are people that are bad people, so they're going to swear a lot and stuff like that. But I feel like it was almost like forced, like too much like language that was happening. But beyond that, like, everything about it was awesome.
Right.
And I mean, I sat there watching those 48 minutes and I was just like, wow, this is so cool. And I want to see more of what's happening here. The augmentations, the, you know, the upgrades that you can do where they, you know, change out your eyeball to give you better enhancements and stuff like that. The people around you, like the things that they're saying and the things that they're doing, like, that's just really interesting to me. And I just can't wait to learn more about what this world's going to become.
So what are your reservations about this after seeing all this? Because I have a few, surprisingly, I have a few.
Yeah.
But
I think my only reservation is that it's gonna, like, well, you mentioned earlier that it might be like, I don't ever get invested in big games, and this could run that risk. But I love this style, but it could run the risk of is this too big of a game for me? Like, I don't want to play The Witcher 3 because I know it's a 70, 80 hour commitment.
Right.
And I never got into that. But there are games that I play like 20, 30 hours. I'll do that. But this world's got me intrigued. So we'll see if that does. That's my biggest reservation is like,
I gotcha.
What am I going to be getting myself into? Am I going to jump into this game and like play 20 hours of it and find out that there's like 60 more hours that I haven't done, and will that keep me from wanting to play it? That's kind of the concern I have. Gotcha.
What do you think about it taking a book from God of War, of being one shot the whole time? So first person the whole time. That's what they said.
No, it's not first person the whole time. Cutscenes and stuff goes third person. They had that in the trailer.
I know that, but they were saying something like how they want to make it as one shot as possible or something like that. Where it's like, maybe it's just that. The games.
They
like
want
the
it
seamless.
To be first person because right. they want you to feel engaged in the action, more close to the action, everything.
Right,
and I
right.
like that. I think that's good because it's a game. It's a gunplay game.
Yeah, for sure.
And I want the gun. Like GTA tried first person. They did a shitty job with it. So the fact that they're putting first person first
right.
is really cool. And I'm glad like with the car, like I want to drive the car in first person. I'm glad they put a third person view to the car because
good,
like
I
a lot
wanna,
of people don't want to drive in first person.
Can't do that shit.
I think the first person perspective is the way it should be. Like right. it's a shooter at heart, and I don't want a third person shooter that you can like peek around walls. I want that immersion in that space and
right.
see it from that point of view. And then when like the augmentations and stuff are happening, like it's you're in it. Like you're in that that space.
Yeah.
It's not like
I
you're just a little floating body that's looking down into it.
Right. Right.
So yeah.
Cool. Awesome, man.
There we go. So that's it. Sorry, that was a longer news segment than we thought it was going to be, but there was a lot to talk about. So that's going to wrap it up. If there's something we missed, which I don't think there would be because there was a lot of stuff.
Now we got it.
You can email us at hello@theinnergamer.net and we'll talk about it next week. Or if you just have any questions or comments, shoot us an email at hello@theinnergamer.net. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, give us a review and rating on iTunes. We're going to take a quick break and be back momentarily with our discussion on Battlefield 5.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
We're going to talk about today, is Battlefield 5 set up for disaster? The reason for this is that ever since the announcement trailer of Battlefield 5 earlier this year, there's been controversy surrounding the whole entire thing. There
was
controversy with the trailer about the historical accuracy of the game, in which they had female characters in the game. They had like weird like mechanics and things that were like, this was never in World War II. But all that came out to find later is going to be like customization options that are going to be added into the game. And then there was updates and concerns and everything about how this game was not going to be different enough from the last one. And
right,
that's kind of the feeling that I got is when I first saw this trailer, I was like Battlefield 1 blew my mind graphically. The fact that it went so far back in time, it's a completely different experience from what we've been playing thus far.
Right.
This one feels like kind of an incremental upgrade, but with a lot of weird changes that I was surprised to see. And then just recently, EA delayed the game a month to work on some feedback they got from the community, as well as to enhance and improve their Tides of War live service, which what that's going to do is when the game comes out, you'll be playing a multiplayer, certain types of levels and mission structures in Grand Operations and their other game mode called Combined Arms. And then as time goes on throughout the entire life of the game, they're going to be introducing new fronts and new missions and things like that to kind of tell the story, their multiplayer perspective of this game. Game,
right?
So of World War II, and then so it's weird. Like the hype train, I feel like isn't as big as it was with Battlefield 1, and it's
that first press event where they streamed was a little lackluster.
Yeah,
I was still excited about all the announcements, but I know there wasn't as big of a hype as I was expecting after that. Now I think it helped a little bit that you had a whole bunch of YouTube personalities go out there, play the game, make a lot of videos. Kind of got me a little pumped about what I was hearing. But now with everything that's come out and the controversies and the concerns, I think it's a storm that has led to this change of date. But I do think it was due to some of the community feedback, like people who played it and are like, hey, maybe you should change this or do this, you know. And, we're going to find out where we think Battlefield is going to sit at the end of this fall craziness.
Yeah. So let's jump back a little bit and talk more about the announcement of the game. So looking back to Battlefield 1, when they announced that, like, people were losing their mind. Like there was articles that came out about the differences between when Call of Duty announced their game. What was that game that got shit on?
Black Ops?
No, wasn't Black Ops. Before World War II.
Infinite?
Advanced Warfare. Ah, Infinite Warfare.
Infinite Warfare.
Yeah. Was that the one that had the Settlement Defense Front?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All that
yeah.
stuff. Yeah. So Infinite Warfare got shit on because of how lame and corny it was. So they knew they needed to change. And people got a lot, like, that was the most disliked video, like, I think ever. Possibly.
And the Battlefield 1 had the most liked video.
Yeah, and they had the most liked video. And it was such a difference there that was really, really shocking and surprising. And I was like on board the hype train for Battlefield 1 from the get-go. It was amazing looking. They really captured like this sense of intensity in the warfare that like you don't see with Call of Duty. Like you don't see that with these things. Like there's moments in this game that are just, you can't find another game that presents moments like this.
Right.
And they're really, really good at accomplishing that.
And the key thing was that trailer captured it all. The yeah. story bits, the gameplay bits, all the new things we planned to see. Even they were just quick little teasers, you know, like quick shots and move on to the next thing. Like people digested that, like picked that trailer apart and was like, this is what's going to be in Battlefield in some shape or form.
Yeah.
And it got everyone super hyped.
Yeah. So then fast forward to the Battlefield 5 announcement trailer. And that was a lot different of a presentation. Rather than showing the epic, like opening up into these epic, huge Battlefield scenes, they started very tight knit. And there was like people running through a house fighting each other, very close quarters. And they jumped out the window, tanks rolling after them. They jump onto a Jeep. They start fighting each other through the grasslands. And then they start running out into this world. And you realize that they're in this, they are in a massive battle scene, but it started very small and intimate,
right?
And then opened up in this larger space. So it was cool, but there was people that were concerned about the fact that there was woman characters in there, which they say that there wasn't like women fighters out on the battlefield. And then there was also a lot of weird cosmetics to the player characters.
Someone was carrying a katana.
Yeah.
So people had face paint on.
Yeah. And then you had the hook arm or whatever that somebody had.
Yeah.
Like a lot of different things that were just really off. And it was cool, but it didn't capture the epicness and the grandeur of Battlefield.
Right.
Like I feel like Battlefield you play Battlefield because of the vast open world warfare that
they ended with that, like showing the battlefield and stuff like that, and like some of the crazy, you know, planes coming overhead and explosions and things and broken, you know, railways and stuff. But they started off, I think they started off bad.
Yeah.
It was, what was that movie where it had George Clooney and like they're World War II and they went to go like get a bunch of treasure and stuff from the Nazis? It was all about like getting treasure from the Nazis.
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like that. And you see all this stuff on this vehicle and they pull in, you know, at the beginning of the trailer. And the way they open up that whole trailer is just, kind of, it throws you through a loophole if you're expecting coming from Battlefield 1 to Battlefield 2, right? Completely, it's completely different.
Yeah, and the really complicated part about this is like this announcement trailer came off the coattails of their last game, which was Star Wars Battlefront 2, which got horribly shat on for their microtransaction system. And I know they learned the lesson from that because there's definitely no microtransactions in this one that we know of so far. But
huge win for gamers.
Yeah, huge win for gamers. But that like just hurt them so bad in the public eye. And now this trailer comes out and it wasn't received as well. It wasn't a good starting point for Battlefield 5. So now let's fast forward to E3. So we're at E3. And they reveal some more details. They reveal some gameplay and stuff like that. More trailers. You got a clearer picture of what the game's about. You get more excited about it. Like you see all the different stuff that they're going to be doing to change the squad, like make squads more important. So that was really exciting. The fact that you rely on your teammates for health more than you used to.
Right.
It's not like you just, you know, pick up health anywhere and like do your thing, but it's like you have to go to your teammates to get health. Like you can only heal so much without going to other players or going to a medic, you know? So those kinds of things were really cool additions. excuse me. They have upgrade tiers for like weapons and stuff like that, which was cool. So seeing that additional like set of detail in the game is really exciting. All the new game modes that they announced, like they have Grand Operations, which is their kind of enhancement from what they do in Battlefield 1, where it's like a multi-day, hour-long gameplay experience, 64 players, where it's like just big, huge battlefield moments going back and forth. If you get to day 4, it becomes sudden death, where it's just like one player, like everybody's a one-hit kill.
Right.
And then somebody wins, and that's like the end of that. So that can get really intense. They also announced Combined Arms, which is their co-op game, that is basically you enter battlefield with you and like three other friends and play against AI. And there's like all kinds of scripted events that take place that are, there's like a mission generator that will generate, I think it sounds like it's almost procedurally generated types of mission experiences that can change it with each experience you play.
Right.
And then Tides of War, which is their online service that is supposed to advance the story along as the game, you know, is living. So like through the lifespan, they're going to introduce more and more theaters of war and stuff to tell the story of World War II through a multiplayer experience. So there's a lot of stuff that they're really putting in this. But despite all of this, looking at Battlefield 5, it doesn't feel like a huge upgrade from the first, like Battlefield 1. Which is weird.
So some of the gameplay seems about the same as Battlefield 1, just like different weapons. Obviously, the environment's going to be a little different, more destructible stuff, things like that, better tanks and, you know, other air weapons and things. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the actual like difference is historically between the two wars. Obviously, there's like more advanced weaponry and things like that in Battlefield 2, but I don't know. There isn't that separation. Trying to think, like, other than gameplay wise, what is about the same to you? Like, what makes it feel the same?
The look.
Okay.
Even though World War One and World War Two were far from each other, and the advancements that were made between the two,
right?
We're
talking about
huge.
The look of like the levels, or the look of like the color palette.
Yeah, all of the above.
Okay.
Color palette, like this doesn't feel like a different theater of war.
Gotcha.
This feels like the same era. Like even though the
Battlefield 1 2.0
the tanks are like updated and upgraded and everything, and the weapons are more advanced and stuff like that. Like I feel like they did some things with Battlefield 1 that they took some liberties on because, you know, Battlefield like World War 1 stuff really wasn't that great.
Right.
And they took some liberties to enhance that a little bit. The main thing that's different is the fact that there's no more horses.
Right.
But like otherwise it doesn't feel like a new theater of war. It feels like we're in the same kind of generation.
Gotcha.
Little bit.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Hopefully that changes once we get our hands on it, but I see what you're saying. I mean, I do feel like it's Battlefield 1 2.0 in certain aspects, and they're just throwing a spin of like Bad Company-esque things on top of that to give it a little more fresh stuff, which I don't know if you want to get into like customization and all that, like loot things and how that's going to play in with like microtransactions, which I guess they haven't really launched, like said too much about that, but I feel like that's where it's going to be. Like that's where microtransactions would be.
Yeah. See, I don't really know. Like they haven't said anything about microtransactions that I'm aware of, and I don't think there's going to be.
Maybe I heard someone speculate on that, but it makes sense that would be where the microtransactions are.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. But
for multiplayer stuff,
I don't know. Hopefully they just don't do it, because I feel like they're going to make a lot of money regardless. If they just
I don't know, man.
But with the fact that they have cosmetic options, there's going to be something you're paying for.
Right. Right.
So. That's just a given.
Special skins, maybe.
But yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of features in here that I really like. I like the fact also, like, you know, as an engineer, you know, you capture a control point, you can set up fortifications and things like that. Like that's gonna be an interesting gameplay mechanic that'll change a lot of situations.
So for me, that gets me excited.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's the controversy and other people's concerns about the game. We even talk about how I think it was the guy who just left. I keep forgetting his name.
Patrick Sutherland.
Yeah, who was saying that if you don't like what we're doing, just don't buy the game. He tweeted that out, I believe. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And how that, like, he's basically telling people don't buy the game. And so I've heard a lot of people say they're just shitting on gamers because of that comment. You know? And I don't know if you think that's okay or not. I mean, I'm kind of on the fence about it. But I don't know. All this stuff, like, kind of just, it's funny how bad press just covers over some of the good aspects of a game. I mean, that's kind of the same thing with Battlefront 2. I mean, they went in, they fixed a lot of stuff, but it was so bad that they are not coming out of that. And I'm surprised they're still doing DLC for that. I jumped in the other day. They had the new DLC for Han Solo, the Han Solo movie. It was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. But I don't know. I don't know where I think they stand in all of this towards the end of the fall. I'm going to buy it. I don't know about everybody else. I know a lot of people who are like taking a stand against this. And it's funny to see like everyone's finally taking a stand against EA or like these big companies that all they care about is money, even though they are fixing some of the issues that they had in the past. But I think with the controversy, I don't think this is going to sell good. I think it's going to take a whole year for them to come back.
I don't know if it'll take that long. I think it's got... I mean, it's not near as bad as Battlefront 2.
Like, right.
We haven't
even
reached the scale of that, and that still sold really, really well.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Sales-wise, yeah. It sold well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Press-wise, it did bad.
Well, yeah, press-wise, it did bad, but it still sold really well, and people played it, and they didn't reach the numbers that they speculated, but they're also, their speculation numbers were very high.
Gotcha.
So they didn't reach their marks, but it still sold well.
Gotcha.
It wasn't a bad game at all. And so I don't think it's going to hurt them. Like, I think this game's going to do well, but I think what is going to hurt them is this delay. And that's what I want to really kind of hone in on. And also to talk about what you said. Yeah, he did actually say the reason why he said play it or don't buy it was because of the controversy about the women.
Right.
So he was saying that because people were complaining about the women, he's like, well, we feel like, what did he say exactly? We stand up for the cause because I think those people who don't understand it, well, you have two choices, either accept it or don't buy the game. I'm fine with either or. So he was basically just defending the reason why they put women in the game.
Right, right.
Which I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it either.
So it's good that they, I mean, people are complaining about that. I don't really care. I think it's good that they're in the game. Since there's customization available,
right?
Why shouldn't you be able to pick between male and female,
right?
Whether it's historically accurate or not, like it's not a big deal. But I do want to talk about the delay because this just happened last week, and they've delayed the game from they pushed it back basically a month. So it was going to come out October 19th. Now it's going to come out November 20th. So if it came out October 19th, it was going to come out right after Black Ops, but it was going to come out before Red Dead Redemption 2. It was going to come out before Fallout 76. It was going to come out before Hitman 2, before all these other games that were pretty big games. And now it's November 20th, which means it's going to come out after Red Dead Redemption 2, after Fallout 76. And after obviously Call of Duty Black Ops. So people are going to have a month of time to like buy Black Ops.
What'd you say the release date was? 5,
November 20th.
Oh, okay. And Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
And
Super Mario Party.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about like games that are like in the same vein of
Super
multiplayer.
Party, Brett.
Oh, I know. Super Mario Party's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Just all these like different plethora of games.
When does Super Mario Party come out?
That is coming out October 5th. After Fallout 76, which you just said.
Holy shit.
Yep.
We have an event on October 5th. Perfect.
Side note, guys.
Yeah. So they say that they delayed this because of the fact they got a lot of feedback from the closed beta. And I watch, I follow Jack Frax pretty frequently, and he talks a lot about this stuff. And he was talking about how he likes the game. He said it plays really well. He found a lot of bugs in the game. So like there was parts where like you kill a guy, and then the guy that you kill would just like freeze in place, static, like a ragdoll, like straight up and down. And there's weird glitches like that. They're all over the place. And there's people saying that there was some balance issues with the game. And then there was some issues with the just a lot of little mechanics that they've put in here that it felt like it was not quite like ready for release or whatever.
Right, right.
So they took a lot of that feedback and are going back to tweak those things, as well as enhance and improve their Tides of War service to make sure it's like ready to go at launch and like make it as good as it can be.
Right. That's good.
So that's what they said. But I'm concerned with the fact like that. I feel like they should have had it. Like they should have done this sooner because of the fact that it's the timing just sucks now.
It really does.
Like at this point, you might as well, like you said earlier, might as well push this back to like January or February.
But again, Battlefield's not a beginning of the year game. It is an end of year game. It's always been like that, at least to my knowledge.
Oh, it always has.
Like a fall game, fall release. But the closer you get to December, the less likely it is your game's going to sell unless you're Nintendo and releasing Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
I mean what if they like open up the year with like January, end of January, bam, Battlefield 5's here. Like, that would be great because they're not competing against any of the multiplayer games.
There are a lot of good games who come out in January and February recently. They're just like, it doesn't hurt them.
Yeah.
Now, if they're looking for a game of the year contender spot, I don't know, multiplayer wise, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to beat Fortnite at this point. I feel like they're just going to get it the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
But
wait, is Fortnite on your game of the year this year?
No, I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about in general.
Oh, okay.
Like, it'd probably be, you know, in some DLC or whatever. But I was trying to think, like, why they would want to keep it in the fall time period. Because what else do they have coming out? Don't they have one more game coming out? What am I missing here?
Who?
EA.
Madden, FIFA.
Oh, minus those.
That's it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, and
I thought they have one more coming out. I could be wrong.
Yarny, that one.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
Oh, there's that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, they're not shooting themselves in the foot like they did with Titanfall, so that's good.
That's true.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I do think that's one of their biggest downfalls right now. But if it plays well and it's received very well, regardless of the controversy, there could be a turning point at that point. So hopefully the tides kind of shift if it is received pretty well. But at that time, like we said, like a lot of people are going to be playing other games at that point, you know, unless there's some really awesome black. Well, no, you can't even. Yeah. Black Friday. Oh, wait, no. Black Friday is the 19th, isn't it?
No,
isn't it on a well, it's a Friday, obviously. Let us look up this Black Friday deal here. Because they could do some cool like Black Friday.
Black Friday is the 23rd.
23rd, yeah.
So it'll be 3 days. That's actually not bad.
I mean, they could do some cool special
things. That's right before everybody's off for vacation.
It could be really cool to do something that day for them.
November is a bad time for it, but the fact that they're putting it literally 2 days before Thanksgiving, people are going to like probably go out and buy this so they're not having to spend time with their family during Thanksgiving.
I'm telling you.
So
I'm telling
that's
you.
Not a bad idea. And then, like
that
you
could
said,
help.
Could you now if they? But do you think that the question is, will they discount it 3 days after it releases? I mean, that would be a huge.
I could see an online special,
them,
like,
but
hey,
I feel like they should.
I mean, they need to. I think.
Yeah,
but I just don't see someone like EA discounting it at that point. I could see something online, like, hey, join up for the EA subscription thing and get it for like half off, or get it for like $25
off. You know what I bet they could do? This would be a good move on their part. Black Friday through the weekend, Battlefield 5, free to play. 3 days.
3 days. That would be genius.
That's the whole entire time they're off. They can play through whatever they want, 3 days for free. I bet you they get a lot of conversions through that. You're welcome, EA.
That'll be...
You can send my check to...
$20,000. I'm just kidding.
No,
I mean, that's the only way I could see them for like
$150,000 minimum.
Dang.
Anyway, because
they have a lot of good things going for them here,
right?
Like coming off of Battlefield 1. Battlefield 1 fell kind of flat in like the things that you're able to do as a player and in the game modes. Like a lot of the tank play and like vehicle play were actually pretty cool. And the horse play was awesome.
It felt unbalanced though. Like, did you feel like Battlefield 1 in a weird way was a little like unbalanced with like the tanks being way too overpowered. Even until now.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Like, I feel but like I, mean, like, I that, never used to have that problem, but I think that's one thing that World War II will fix is that you have more stuff.
You can combat disposal. The tank a little better than you could in that. But I think that was the whole point. Like, the tanks were like the changed the battlefield, you know?
But that's not fun, though.
I know. I get it. It was just fun to be in the tanks. But yeah, it was very gamey at the same time, you know? And it was supposed to be historical and stuff, but I think that's where they kind of leaned away. But I remember them saying in a video that they wanted the tanks to be like the powerhouse. Like, you get the tank, it's going to change the tide of war if you're losing to winning and stuff like that. Obviously, yeah, I think it's going to be more balanced in Battlefield 5. And yeah, that's it, man. They need to do that for Black Friday.
Yeah. I think here's my kind of verdict on whether or not Battlefield 5 can succeed at this point in time. There's no doubt it's not going to succeed. Like, it's going to do well, but I think we might see an issue in which it won't meet the expectations that they have. Cause like this year they're banking on Battlefield 5 to finish out their year.
Right.
Like, I mean, obviously Madden and all that stuff's going to do really well because everybody just buys that stuff. But like Battlefield 5 is their only non-sports title that's coming out between now and the end of the year. So it has to do well. So I think what's going to be riding on that is because we already know what's coming with the rest of the game, but like we know nothing about Battle Royale. And if that comes out and we're like, shit, that feature fundamentally changes Battle Royale, then this game's going to sell like hotcakes and everything else we've been talking about won't even matter.
This is it. I know what they can do.
What?
Free to play Battle Royale standalone. We can, if it's good enough and it holds its own.
The whole game is free to play.
Well, I know, but I mean, if that is good enough and it holds its own, that might be enough for people to be like, fuck, I really want to play that now. And it's only available if I buy the full game, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's another option. Just throwing out options for EA over here.
But that's just a lesser version of my option that I suggested.
But I could see them not wanting you to be able to play the full game.
I would think they would. Just I mean, multiplayer.
Right.
Not like single player, but the whole game is multiplayer.
Multiplayer, sure.
So like all the modes and stuff like that. Yeah. Some capacity of free play during the weekend that everybody's off, that would be good.
Right.
I could see them doing that for sure.
Right.
But yeah, Battle Royale definitely needs to have some kind of feature set that will stand out. And I mean I've said it before, like I think Battlefield is the best game fit for a battle royale genre. Like it fits that so well. And
I take it back. You're right. It should be full play online. Because now it's gonna be competing against Black Ops.
Exactly.
Like you're already
like
slow out
of the
gate.
Let them experience all the new shit. Like let them experience Battle Royale.
Black Ops.
Let them experience the Tides of War experience. Let them experience Grand Operations.
Right.
Let them experience like Combined Arms. All that stuff's new that nobody's seen before. Thanksgiving's right here. Free to play. Try that out on Monday, Cyber Monday. Bam! Drop a sale. Everybody buys that shit, and then all of a sudden you got everybody playing your game. And then like put in those microtransactions and make your money off of the cosmetics and stuff. Like, hey, you want to have a peg leg? Go right ahead. It's $4.99.
All yours.
All yours.
For a nominal price of $60 plus $5.99.
Anyway, yeah. So, I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts you want to add to this before we wrap up?
They do have a nice lineup of new things to try out. And it just sucks at the controversy and all this stuff. And again, like I said it before in the podcast, like this was all marketing. But the voice of like what's going to be in the game, what the game's about was different from what they marketed. Not as bad as Halo 5, but like there wasn't that connection. I think we see that quite often actually with some of these bigger developers. Like there's something lost between the lines when they're trying to communicate things.
Yeah.
And
So to add, like you just made a statement that made me realize something. So I've been trying to like articulate in words why this doesn't feel much different from the last game. And you kind of just said it in that there's all these new things that are coming out in it, but I don't know what any of that looks like because they've shown it, I think. like maybe that first trailer was like Combine Arms,
right?
And that's what that was.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Like, yeah. It's not clear like what these experiences look and feel like.
Right. We only have a few clips and stuff, and you know, gameplay from E3.
Yeah, and the gameplay from E3 or the gameplay that's been coming out lately, like Rotterdam and stuff like that, that's all been like conquest space stuff.
Right, right.
So like even that doesn't really show anything. Yeah. It's just the same kind of stuff. So like I don't know what these new experience, like I don't know what Grand Operations will look and feel like.
Their marketing this time around has not been good.
Yeah.
Like the weapon customization stuff and like customizing your group or your character was really cool. But everything else is just be kind of lackluster. Just like, okay, cool. Like, I know what to expect, but I don't know what to expect from the new stuff. So, if you know what that means,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, I've always said it in the past. I'm a huge Battlefield fan, so I'm going to buy this game regardless.
I will
definitely play it. The last one was huge, but this one doesn't change as much as I'd like it to, but I'm hoping that feeling goes away when the open beta comes out. I can actually jump in and play it and feel it myself. Maybe it'll feel different. Like that would be nice. And maybe it'll like, we can experience some of those new modes that we just haven't played yet. And they might surprise us. So I'm optimistic about it, but cautiously optimistic because I just don't know where things are going right now. So
if you want our opinion about this later after release, you can come back to theinnergamer.net and wait and look for our Battlefield 5 review impressions. Thank you.
Exactly. That thing.
We're going to be real about this. We'll let you know if it sucks.
So let us know in the comments what you think about Battlefield 5. Do you think it's going to do really well? Are you excited about this game? If so, why? Are you not excited? And if so, why? And that's going to conclude our discussion topic this week. So if you want to hear us talk about something else, you can send it to us at hello@theinnergamer.net.
Please.
In addition, we have video clips of not necessarily this segment, but all of our segments that we do from the news or this segment, whatever, at youtube.com/theinnergamer. Make sure to check those out. And if you want to watch the full discussion topic of this with our faces in it, you can't see my hand gestures right now, but if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can see all my hand gestures. You can see me flipping Austin off. But
I wish I could say
if you're not paying for it, then you can't see it. So $3 or more a month, you can see the video of this every Thursday as well. And
it's just hand gestures the whole video if you're just listening.
Yeah.
All the time in my face.
Like I've been walking around all over the place doing flips and jumps and jumping jacks and things. You wouldn't even know.
Wouldn't even know.
Unless you subscribe.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. We have two games coming out over the course of next week, both on the same day. I feel bad for this game. On September 7th. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Immortal Unchained. Unleashed and Unforgiving. Can you rise to the challenge? Immortal Unchained is the latest addition to the genre of ultra-hardcore action RPGs. You take the role of a living weapon unleashed to stop the source of a cataclysmic event threatening to end all worlds. And then we also have the game that everybody's going to buy instead of Immortal Unchained, on PS4, well, I guess only if you have a PS4 will this happen. Marvel's Spider-Man. It's finally coming. When a new villain threatens New York City, Peter Parker and Spider-Man's worlds collide. To save the city and those he loves, he must rise up and be greater.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Puddlegate.
All right. So that's going to wrap up our show this week. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your video game. For more from your favorite video game podcast, visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave a review on iTunes or tell a friend. And don't forget, on September 14th, we will be back in Dallas at Pedicolis Brewing Company. I'm just all messed up.
We just love community.
At Pedicolis, we'll be there. September 14th, we're going to be having some Moan and Throne. We got some other games coming out. You definitely want to make it out there. We'll have a food truck. It's on a Friday. You can't miss it.
on Friday. Going to the Inner Gamer on a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we also have a Patreon set, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the best content that you want to see in here every week. Even a dollar a month will help us keep this content coming at you. Plus,
or $150 a month.
Or $150 a month, you know. You know, it's flexible. Wherever you want to put that decimal. Plus, if you support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as being a guest on the podcast, getting exclusive content, joining up on our Discord server so we can play games. And if you donate, we have new tiers coming your way for the DFW listeners. You can come out to our events, get some cool stuff. We're starting up our giveaways at the events. So donate some money, help us out, and click donate to contribute at theinnergamer.net. I'm Austin Morales.
And I'm Brett Yanosky. And you've been listening to The Inner Gamer.
We're so bad at deep voices. It's great.
Man, I was going with it. You ruined it.
Oh,
yeah, we're pretty bad.
Oh, terrible.
Pretty bad. Yeah, disregard that last thing, and don't let that be your judgment for donating to us.
You have been listening to Toilet Talk with Brett Yanosky. Thank you for listening.
Catch y'all next time.
Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 186.
Why'd you say it like that?
You just messed up my intro.
That sounds horrible.
Cool.
Do it cooler.
Funny.
Do it cooler.
Okay.
And we're live with Brett Yanosky with his dry, itchy mouth. Will he be able to do the intro outro?
He said no. It's over, guys.